Yes, folks, here is Maurice of A Handyman's Haven, transmitting in the A Handyman's Haven radio studio on this great weekend approaching the 4th of July. We're on AM 1030, The Voice, with trusted local news and talk. If you'd like to call in today and ask some questions about your do-it-yourself projects that you're accomplishing, or you got something sensational going on that the listening audience, as well as I, would be very much interested in learning about, yeah, please give us a call here at the studio at 520-790-2040. We would be most interested in the activities that are going on. The A Handyman's Haven is located in Tucson, Arizona, at 1724 South 6th Avenue. That place is a 6 blocks south of 22nd Street. For the big yellow building on the west side of the street as you're going southbound, or even if you're going northbound, we're still on the west side of the street. How unique that feature happens to be. Our hours of operation are from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. However, for the July 4th, we will be closed to enjoy the celebrations of the United States of America and its recognition of Day of Independence. As some of you have heard by listening to the programs today, that at the Marriott Hotel, University Park, a hotel at 880 East 2nd Street. There will be a showing of the movie called The Rocketeer. There will also be the reading of the Declaration of Independence, and there will be food available. The admission is $6, free parking throughout the area, and the doors open at 11 a.m. with the movie starting approximately at noon. So give it a whirl. It's a fine program. I've been there many times in the past, as this has been promoted by Charles Heller of the Swap Shop, American Armed and Free, and Liberty Watch. So we'll be there. Come on down and see us, and look us up. We'll answer whatever questions we can and enjoy the celebration of the United States of America on July 4th. We have a Green Valley location, which is situated at 125 West Calle de las Tiendas, Suite 103. You could exit on the Duval Mine Road exit, either going southbound or northbound. We're at the north end of Green Valley. As you do exit, immediately get into the lane that approaches the frontage road. As you get on the east-west road at that time period, move into the far left lane, take the first exit, which appears immediately after you come off the freeway, and head on down to the Duval Mine Road and go into 125 West Calle de las Tiendas, Suite 103 Alpha. Our phone number on location, if you do get a little displaced, is 520-369-4858. The hours of operation are basically from 8:30 in the morning to about 4 p.m. in the afternoon on Monday through Friday. The A main employee on staff down there is Terry Smith. She can answer most questions. And if for some reason she is preoccupied, the phone does her transfer back up to Tucson and will be answered in Tucson. So don't be shocked when that takes place. Our website is ahandymansshaven.com. I say shaven because the apostrophe S gets rather confusing. So if you type A Handyman, and then shaven, all is one word, .com, you'll pull up our website, which has fine information from that standpoint. If you want to email us anything at all, you can put info in front of, at, so to speak, ahandymanshaven.com, and we'll get that. So some activities that have been ongoing at A Handyman's Haven, one of them is, as I've talked in the past, is the high school facility of ILS, as it's called, the, I believe it's independent learning sections, whereby it's a conglomerate of many, many activities that were years past when I was in junior high and high school, and that is students may look at how to cook, how to do their washing of their clothes, how to do the drying of the clothes, the ironing of the clothes, learn how to shop, and find out the best deals that are available in purchasing food and activities for them and their family. Organizational structure of what's important as you do become more mature in life and you need to have some organization in your activities. Money management, which is very, very important these days. And it is an excellent idea of all the things that they cover there to learn where you can apprise yourself in obtaining the best merchandise for the best price that's available. And there's many more things. Management of your life, how to secure various types of activities, be they school scholarships or the support systems throughout the city of Tucson that can help students with various types of scholarships, whether in high school or college or things of that nature. So we're very proud of that activity. It required the designing of 90 feet of approximately, so to speak, of cabinets, where the cabinet structure themselves included two sink areas for washing of dishes and rinsing out various activities, two cooking areas, that's two major stoves, microwave systems, refrigerators of about three of them, nice-sized refrigerators to keep the present food that is required to be cooled. Many of the areas are ADA accessible with wheelchairs or incapacities that many of the students may have, as well as walkers. There's two major areas that they can work at and be very comfortable and not worry about the height of the countertops and things of that nature. So we're quite happy with getting this completed. It looks absolutely outstanding. All the cabinets are equipped with rollout trays, whereby you could stand on the side and you never have to get on your hands and knees and get your flashlights out in the evening or in dark areas to try to see what's in the bottom floor of your cabinetry. All of it can be pulled to the forefront with many of the incapacities that the students have, which make it nice, easy. In fact, the adults love it also because it seems as though as life goes on, getting on your hands and knees is not the best thing that you may want to do in life, and scooting along on concrete floors from that nature. I don't know of anybody that wears knee pads throughout their home in their cabinetry, and we try to encourage down at A Handyman's Haven, at least in our design portfolio, that customers should consider rollout trays or drawer units from that standpoint to facilitate the ease of managing of that type of activity. I know that in the first major kitchen that I designed back in the early 1970s, the customer requested all drawers except for one unit that happened to be the doors required, so to speak, underneath the kitchen sink area. And with that being in mind, we even put a rollout tray on the bottom of the kitchen cabinet floor. That's so you can move all those items in and out. Anyway, looks like we've already accomplished time for our first break. Our production engineer today is John Couch. And welcome, John. It's good to see you here. And I always enjoy talking to John and the various activities that he has. And so he's going to take us away on our first break. And we'll see you after the break, folks. Welcome back to the Hammer Time Radio Show. I am Maurice Cerrone, transmitting in the A Handyman's Haven Radio Studio on AM 1030, The Voice, with trusted local news and talk. Discussing some of the activities that we can provide at A Handyman's Haven in either our Tucson location or our Green Valley location. Reconstruction of the boxes associated with cabinetry. We have the capability, if you have had some disgruntlement with your cabinetry and want to get brand new boxes behind it, just bring the face frames along with the doors and that down to A Handyman's Haven, and we can reconstruct a brand new box for you. Or you may end up purchasing some cabinetry and the boxes are really in horrible situations. I know I saw some recently that were made with 3/8-inch fiberboard, and they were just all falling apart. So you can get probably a pretty good deal in various locations. The only thing I caution you on buying used cabinets is that you may want to seriously take a look at whether the cabinetry that you are going to purchase is going to accomplish what you expect them to accomplish. If you need any help with that and you do have the cabinets, come on down. We can work up a design for you. And along with the restrictions that you have in your present environment, we can maybe be able to work those cabinets in and get them to work for you. But if the boxes are in bad shape, don't get concerned about it. Just bring the face frames down to our store. We'll reconstruct brand new boxes for you, and you can end up with a pretty good deal from that standpoint in the construction of the box itself along with the face frames. Do realize that you'd like to have the face frames and the doors in pretty good shape. We can switch out the hinging and put the newer hinges on them, which can also have soft close. We can provide you with new drawer boxes in case they happen to be damaged. We can do some stain matching if that's needed in order to assist you in the construction of the boxes and get those face frames back together again. A good negotiation with the purchaser or with the seller may end up with you with a very good deal that could be used maybe in the laundry room or in your garage or in a walk-in closet or in a media room or things of that nature. The other thing that's going on at A Handyman's Haven, which is almost one of our continuous type operations, is heavy modifications of cabinetry. Presently, and what I mean by heavy modifications, where we're basically reconstructing the entire opening, moving the rails up and down to provide the items that the customer is interested in. And these happen to be in pantries. So in one of the pantry situations, we are including a under cabinet refrigeration system along with a microwave that's going to sit on top of it with a shelf. And that's going to be in the opening. Below these two items are going to be a couple drawer units that can move in and out, obviously. And then above the microwave, which is going to sit on top of the refrigeration unit, there's going to be a storage area on the top part of the microwave or the top part of the pantry. Pantries typically are 84 inches tall. They can go to 90. We do have some companies that provide 96-inch tall cabinetry. They can be anywhere from 18 inches wide on up to as much as 48, depending upon what company we're going to utilize or requested by the customer. And also they'll be 24 inches deep. We do have some 12-inch cabinetry, but we can reconstruct the pantries to be any depth you want with the carcasses that are available today for us to accomplish that work. So keep that in mind. One of the other units that we're doing, we're actually taking a drawer unit, which is a four drawer type unit, and basically cutting it in half, and we're getting two drawer units out of it. And we're using that as a basic with just regular wall cabinetry above it in order to house a refrigerator and microwave also. So if you have any requests from that standpoint, if you're involved with remodeling studio apartments or one-bedroom apartments or one-bedroom condominiums or townhouses, give A Handyman's Haven a call and or come on down with your requests. And we'll work out something that can assist you in maximizing the efficiency of the cabinetry in your small little homes that you may have. So keep that in mind. The other thing that I'd like to caution everybody on is do not get in a hurry in your remodeling situation. And this is most important. There are so many moving parts accomplished with remodeling, such as a contractor that you may use, such as electrical, painting, plumbing issues, flooring issues, cabinetry, countertops, et cetera, et cetera. It is so extensive, and probably each one of those activities that I just mentioned require subcontractors or suppliers of those materials. So you take into account the manufacturer of the materials, the distribution of those materials from the manufacturer through a sales rep that we work with all the time period in order to come to our local store and then with modifications that may occur upon the request that the customer may have. There is so many moving parts that who knows if any one of those are going to fail at any time period. And I don't mean to seriously fail, but I mean during the transportation media as an example, the truckers that bring the items into us may have some difficulty. As you know, mechanical systems sometimes do not operate. Anybody that owns their own home knows that for a fact. You may wake up in the middle of the night in your room. Your entire home is so warm, and only to find out that your air conditioning system has weakened somewhere along the line, and it's blowing hot air instead of the cool air that you expected, and that may be a problem. Or you may wake up to dripping water, and you wonder, like, where is that coming from? Or you may receive a phone call from the water company and says, we've noticed that your utilization of water has drastically increased from your last meter reading. Would like to know if you've got anything going on that we can assist you with. Anybody that hasn't had that, just stand by or sit by and expect that to occur. I can speak from experience. I have been involved with a phone call of that nature. So many designs themselves, and I do thank those customers that have come in and have indicated that they like to have a design and are not getting in a hurry. They can last 8 weeks, 10 weeks, 12 weeks. I think the longest design phase that we've ever been through in my own personal case is about 14 months, that there was all sorts of issues that kept cropping up on behalf of the customer. And one of them was a floor return air system, and I sort of chuckle at this one. He could not figure out for a long period of time that why he had this hole in the floor that was underneath their kitchen cabinetry that was vented through the space that was underneath the floor of the cabinet coming out the front. And it turns out that after he removed all the cabinets and everything else, sounds funny in a way, but he took some feathers as an example and threw some feathers over the top of the hole, and the air that was moving throughout the hole actually sucked the feathers right in, and so we concluded that it was a return air system for his air conditioning system at the home. But it took him a while to figure that out, and we were really happy to find out, and then we can accommodate what he needed to accomplish in order to put the cabinetry in that area and have the proper return air. I know one home design that we've been working on, and it's basically become concluded. It has been about a 12-week process. Was that one of the requests that the homeowner had, they had a beautiful view out of their kitchen area window, and they wanted to have a seating arrangement in this middle of the window, maybe not necessarily centered, but in the window itself, to look out over the desert landscape that they had. And in the morning, they would like to have their coffee and little crumpets. I guess in New Orleans would say coffee and beignets, but maybe crumpets would be satisfactory, and observe the wildlife that was transitioning through the area. And I know that's rather exciting. I know in my own personal home, which is up in the northwest part of the area in the vicinity of Orange Grove and Oracle, that we can look out the living room window. And the other day, as an example, as I'm sitting in the living room looking out the window, about 14 javelina were coming through the area. It's about a 100-foot area from the front to back of the land. That's there. We were situated on a commercial acre. And it's not uncommon to have javelina come through, but 14 of them, they were huge. I've never seen such big animals in this case in all my life. They look like they've been fed three times a day in some high-fat food, so to speak, because they were sure packing a lot of weight. If I had a way of accommodating them not transitioning through there and could occupy the facility of acquiring the meat that was there, we'd have some pretty good javelina wild pig meat in order to barbecue. It is pretty good if you know how to prepare it. One of the rod and gun clubs in Tucson used to have, and I don't know whether they still do or not, since I haven't been associated with them lately, but they used to have on the 4th of July a potluck, so to speak, where all the members of the club brought in their wildlife. You could have elk, bison, wild pig, quail, dove, all sorts of wild elk, whatever else is available in the hunting means throughout the area, cooked by the local people that were there. Excellent activity from that standpoint. One of the other things, like I've mentioned earlier, we just completed installation of a 48-inch wall cabinet that we modified to be 8 inches deep. That's front to back. Put sliding mirrors on it for a medicine cabinet in a customer's home. The customer is very delighted with this type of operation and is very happy that now they've got excellent storage in their bathroom whereby they can store many of the amenities that they need to store, be it the families or the husband and wife's medication and supplements, along with first aid equipment, and then everything else they need to prepare themselves for the day activity. So keep that in mind with the capability of A Handyman Haven. Come on down and see us. I do also, I am going to say right now that I really appreciate the phone calls this past week we received from listeners of the KVOI Hammer Time radio program, as well as those of you that have stopped in and take a look around. We'll show you the facility and the capability that we have. We've completed the amount of time for our second break, and our production engineer, John, is ready. We're on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. And John, do your job. Welcome back to the Hammer Time Radio Show. I am Maurice Cerrone, transmitting in the A Handyman's Haven radio studio on AM 1030, The Voice, with your local trusted news and talk. We've been talking about various activities. A Handyman's Haven in Tucson is located at 1724 South 6th Avenue. Our Tucson phone number is 520-624-7200. Our Green Valley location is at 125 West Calle de las Tiendas, Suite 103. Our phone number in Green Valley is 520-369-4858. If you'd like to enter the conversation today, I'd very much enjoy listening to you. Give us a call at 520-790-2040. We've been talking a little bit about, or I've been talking a little bit about, reconstruction and remodeling in your homes. I'd like to, at the present time, talk about items that you need to be concerned with when you're hiring the individual doing work for you. One of the things that I think is very, very important is for the homeowner that's going to hire an individual to do various remodeling aspects is to know who you're hiring to start off with and be able to ask a lot of questions. Now, the latter part of that statement may be a little difficult for many people to understand, but with the internet that we have available today and going online, if you want to install a door as an example, go online and research it. You may be able to find several YouTubes that indicate to you how to install a door, whether it's a door only or if it's a door that has been pre-hung, as we say, that has a frame around it, and what you need to consider. And I say this because many individuals that come down to the store that say they would like to have a door have no idea what the width of the door needs to be. All they know is that they want a closet door. They don't want a bathroom door. They don't want a living room door. They don't want a whatever door, a pantry door, but they want a closet door. There are no specialties as far as doors go and where you want to place them in the home. Any door can be used in any one of these locations. And it is sort of interesting at a time when people think about that, which lets me know that there is a lot to learn for all of us when we're involved with the reconstruction of various activities of your home. So not only do you need to know about the right questions to ask, which you can surely get on the internet today, but you also need to know a little bit about what the right answer should be. We do have quite a education at A Handyman's Haven in our experience level of doing a lot of remodeling. We also know anybody that, with a lot of people that we can call in order to get the appropriate answer, including our vendors who are really professional and able to answer a lot of questions. So keep that in mind. The web, when you take a look at blogs that somebody may have, look at your YouTubes on installation. Many people put the YouTube information on there. I've seen some excellent activities on how to install doors. They'll provide you great insight in many areas of your concern. I know I can think of one individual. This is many months ago. He ordered a pre-hung door system. He called us back up and he says, we sold him a crooked door. I says, well, how was it crooked? And he said, well, it left a big gap as I hung the door with the framework and everything on the latch side, and the door wouldn't close properly. So I said, okay, we'll bring it down and we'll take a look at it. And so he did arrive down at the store. So as he did, we offloaded the door and placed it in our shop. I got out a framing square, which is a big square that's 18 inches by 24 inches. Most people who have done any sorts of construction work know about a framing square. And I put that on the door. The door was perfectly square. So he was absolutely shocked that it would be a square because it wasn't square after he hung it. Well, it turns out that the hinge jamb portion of the hinge leg was not plumb. As one activity. The second thing was that the upper corner where the hinge leg met the header was not square. So it rised up from the hinge to where the latch set was, and that distance was probably equal to the amount of gap that he had when he hung the door. And so I says, I can't help you. I says, the door is perfectly square. I said, I think what you need to do is to go back home and plumb the door on the hinge side and then square it up all the way around, and you'll get the door to fit. So anyway, he took the pre-hung door back, and we didn't see him after that, so the assumption is that he got it hung appropriately or somebody gave him the proper information to hang the door. So remember, good questions, and know what the right answer should be, and that should help you out. The other thing you may want to consider, that the Arizona State Statutes has bestowed a lot of responsibility to the Register of Contractors in the state of Arizona. And there are many, many classifications of registered contractors. As one may know, a contractor can be anyone that you as a customer make a verbal or a written agreement as to the job that you would like to have accomplished. There are many positions of this nature whereby you do not need to have a Arizona Register of Contractors to do the work for you because the work is of certain monetary value or a less extensive type of activity that may not require. A good handyman can many times do an excellent job for you. So, but there are other things that the state statute authorize under the Arizona Register of Contractor, and that are the many, many licensing agreements of which an individual needs to go through various educational learning, take the appropriate testing, and then be certified from that standpoint. Many, many categories. There are certain sets of categories that do require, when this extensive types of modification, such as electrical, roofing, HVAC or air conditioning systems, plumbing, and there may be a couple more in that area that do require when it's very extensively required in the remodeling phase of the project that you may have, that they be registered. A contractor who is registered under the Arizona State Statutes will be licensed. He'll have what we call an ROC number. You can look that up on the web and verify the license itself and whether he meets the criteria to be registered. In order to be registered, not only do you have to pass the existing testing, but you also have to be bonded. And by bonding, we mean that if for some reason the contractor cannot finish the job under the rules that you've, or under the contract that has been signed by both of you, that their bonding agency will step in and get the job accomplished for you. And probably more than anything else in the world, regardless of the education and the bonding, is that the individual that's doing work on your property should have a liability insurance policy. The magnitude of that policy is up to what the individual needs to provide, and there is no specific requirement that I know of for the bonding or the liability. Normally, they're in the vicinity of $1 million to $2 million, depending upon the extensiveness of the project. And from if he cannot produce, or he or she cannot produce that liability license, and you do hire that individual, just remember that if there is an injury on the property, that you as the homeowner are responsible for that injury, regardless of whether it's negligent on his behalf or it's something that falls apart as a result of it creating the injury. That can become very costly. So remember, liability is the most important part of hiring an individual to do work on your property. Older homes, as an example, are also a testament of what needs to be known on behalf of the homeowner that's going to require work, as well as the individual that's going to be doing the work for you. Older homes in pre-1978 have no doubt have had lead paint utilized on painting the walls and other types of activities in the home, and may also have asbestos. Asbestos was used for flooring. It's used in many ceilings, in all sorts of activities. Asbestos is an excellent fire repellent type operation, but both of these items are extensive as far as personal injury goes. Now, I don't mean they're going to come and chop your arm off or anything like that, but it's the inhalation process of these items that can be difficult for the body to handle. So when you disturb lead paint and it happens to become friable, as we say, or becomes dusting, that if you're not wearing the appropriate respiration systems in order to remove that, and I don't mean the little paper masks that you can buy at the local drugstore, you need the respirators with the bellows type system in it that will absorb the fine particles that asbestos will create, or lead will create, when you start removing these items. They do require special certification. There are certification schools that periodically are in Tucson that individuals can be certified, and that is something that you need to be aware of if you have a home that was built of 1978 or prior to that. As an example, we've had several people in the store recently that says they got a 1960s home. They have a home in 1950s. Things of that nature. One recently was a 1930s home, and who knows what they may have used for that type of activity. So air circulation is quite important. That's so you can extract the air. It's filtered out, as well as a respirator and a system on the individual doing the work that will maintain a good, healthy environment from that standpoint. Well, we've come across the end of our third break, or our third session here on AM 1030 The Voice with your trusted local news and talk, and Mr. John Couch. Have fun at the board. Welcome back to the Hey Handyman's... I got too excited here. Welcome back to the Hammer Time Radio Show with Maurice Cerrone from the Hey Handyman's Haven. We're on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. We've been talking about various activities in remodeling. One of the other things that we see at our store quite frequently is that customers come in and ask for what are the current trends. And I just sort of shudder every now and then when people ask that question, because trends are exactly what they are. They're trends. How long do they last? Who knows? I remember the first home that I purchased, it had grass paper on all the walls. It was painted turquoise in coloring. And obviously that was a trend at some time period. But is that the trend that I want to live with? And the answer is no. So one thing to really consider is not so much about the trends, is what as you as a homeowner is going to be very happy with and satisfied with and feel relaxed when you're working in your home doing the activities that you want to accomplish. So trend is, in my position, is not really that important, because, and I am very forward with the customer and explaining to them that I'm sorry, but I don't need to look at this thing daily. You do. You need to function with this, and you need to be happy with what you have, whether it's black, blue, green, purple, or whatever it happens to be, and you want to walk 300 feet or 30 feet to get to where you need to do to accomplish the things. That's your prerogative, and that's what you need to have in your home in order to be efficient for the way you want to be. So keep that in mind, folks. Trends are nice to have, and maybe in certain cases they are. Such as you want to buy a dishwasher, as an example, that will let you know that we don't need to wash the dishes because you already washed them for me, and therefore I'm just going to sterilize them for you, and I'm only going to run 20 minutes instead of 1 hour, and I'm only going to use 2 gallons of water instead of six. So that's a pretty good trend. And maybe with refrigerators, there's lots of trends with refrigerators, such as buying an Energy Star refrigerator that's going to reduce the amount of electricity it's going to use and keep your utility bill down. Another trend may be you can go on what I call the on-peak, off-peak electrical usage system, whereby you can try to run most of your electricity after a certain period in the evening and before a certain period the next morning, and be at the lowest cost of utilizing the kilowatt hours that you want to pay. So be careful with trends. Magazines are very, very susceptible of presenting trends to you, and this is what you need and this is what you should have, but the functionality of it is not important, because you are the one that have to decide how you want your cabinetry and kitchens and bathrooms and so on and so forth to work. Coloring is also another thing. What an interior designer may say, and I love interior designers, and they may be actually dead on what they're talking about, but be careful with the common trends. I have had a couple of customers come in recently, says, I'm just tired. I can't ever imagine anybody wanting to have white cabinets on their upper portion of their kitchen and gray cabinets on the bottom. That's the trend that they don't want. And so they'll come up with something that's going to be a little more harmonious to them and very satisfying. So keep that in mind when you talk about trends. Discuss that with your contractor when he comes in. And that may be very, very important. Look at the finish that you are looking for on your project, that so every day you feel very happy in walking into the areas that you have. One of the other things that comes up is guaranteed pricing. And I do know that we had a customer this past week that came in, and they want to redo a bathroom. The bathroom where the countertops is everything is about 10 feet from wall to wall. They want to go from a one sink to a two sink operation. They want all brand new cabinets. They want to put in a brand new flooring system, as well as painting the walls. They want to put in an excellent medicine cabinet. And they want a tower that's going to sit on the top of the countertop of their cabinetry and utilize that as a linen storage area. And so as we were talking about the cabinetry and what they wanted, they picked out one of the cabinet styles that we have. And then they indicated to me that the contractor that gave them their proposal, and the interesting thing part of this is they already put down 50% of the job, and there comes the enlightenment. She says, yes, he only allocated for us $600 for this bathroom. And it's a good thing I was leaning up against the counter, because I think I would have hit the floor. $600 for this. And I says, ma'am, I'm really, really sorry to tell you, but I don't think you can do this job for $600. She says, well, that's what he allocated for us. So I asked her, I says, you know, who allocated this directly? I says, did you suggest to him that this is all the money you had? Or did he say this is all I'm going to authorize for this project after you discussed with him what you wanted? So as we continued talking, it turns out that this is what was put in the contract, that there was allocation of $600 to accomplish this project. Well, I said, well, if you don't mind, I said, why don't you just wait a minute? I'll design a system for you. We came up with a cabinetry. The cabinetry came up to be about $900 for the cabinetry with a double bowl sink arrangement, all new cabinetry. The countertop was going to come up to be about $150. They were looking for a laminate countertop. And I said, I have no idea what your tile floor is going to cost, what the painting is going to cost, what the tear-out's going to be, what the reinstalling is going to be, the cost of the sinks you're looking for. And I says, on the surface, I says, I think you're going to be up around $3,000 to $4,000 to do this bathroom. And she was absolutely shocked. I said, so it looks like that you're going to have a switch and bait operation by this contractor, and that's what you need to be aware of. And I says, what you need to look for is that if you exceed this amount of money that's so-called allocated in the contract, of which both you and him have approved, that you're going to see a major upcharge on the operation from that standpoint. So just be alert to this and be careful from that standpoint. So one needs to be very, very astute, asking the right questions, looking for the proper answers that you want in order to be careful with what's going to take place. Analyze the contract. Another thing that may occur is the completion date. Very seldom does the theoretical completion date of the project be completed on time. Again, so many moving parts are involved. We're all human in that standpoint, and I can tell you from getting materials from our vendors. We had a Phoenix vendor recently. We ordered the material. They acknowledged the order of the material was going to be shipped UPS. It took 8 days to come out of Phoenix to Tucson, Arizona on UPS. I have no idea where the hang-up was, whether it was the vendor getting the material to UPS, whether it was UPS and their system. It may have gone all the way to the East Coast and back again in order to come to Tucson, because that's how FedEx and UPS and a lot of these people operate with the new mechanism of shipping things across the country. FedEx was the first company that instilled that type of operation where everything in the entire system throughout the United States went from the any place where it originated from to Tennessee, went through the system in Tennessee, and then flew back at nighttime to the city, and then distributed the next day. That's how the system works. So anyway, that was a shocker from that standpoint. I'd like to say at this time period that on July 4th, that's coming up, A Handyman's Haven will be closed in both locations, in Tucson as well as Green Valley. We'll see you after the holiday period. There's a great show going on at the Marriott University Park Hotel at 880 East 2nd Street, where they're going to show the movie The Rocketeer. They'll be reading the Declaration of Independence, which will be very informative to many people who have not seen it, have listened to the Declaration. There will be foods and beverages available. The admission is $6. The door opens at 11 a.m. on Thursday morning. The movie should be starting around 12 p.m., and it's going to be a great time for anybody who participates in that from that standpoint. So we'll look forward to seeing you there. I plan on being there with my wife from A Handyman's Haven. Looking forward to a great afternoon, July 4th in Tucson, Arizona. The other thing I'd like to say is that the program immediately following the Hammer Time radio show today is with none other than Jack Prather of the Prather Point, who always has outstanding information concerning the local political scenes as well as the national and worldly political scenes, not only from his experience but his diligent work in obtaining the information that is needed for many things that are occurring. So if you're interested in items of that nature, stick around. It'll be a great hour program from that standpoint. So, other items of sales tax, as an example, in getting back to the remodeling, the Arizona State Legislature passed laws in concert with the Arizona Register of Contractors, that in order that contractors and subcontractors can buy at certain prices and not pay sales tax, that has to have a special requirement with a special permit, and it normally has to be from what we call dirt up construction. And what that means is that no building can touch another building, and it has to be a self-sustained building all by itself, built from dirt up with its own foundation and everything else. If anything is attached to any other building, normally a major contractor cannot get permission for tax-exempt purchasing status. If he does have that type of building, he can inform the Arizona Register of Contractors and get special approval to buy tax-exempt process. I can talk a little bit more about this next week. Looks like we're coming to the end of the program. And I appreciate you listening very much. And we'll talk to you next week. Have a great time, folks.